Father in heaven, thank you for bringing us to this new day. This past week perhaps has had some smooth sailing as well as some rough seas. And Lord, as we look at a storm in your life and that of your disciples, help us to learn the lessons so that when we go through the storms of life, we learn and have learned what you want us to know, believe, and understand as we go through those storms of life. Bless the hearing and sharing of your word this morning as we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. You have some message notes to follow along this morning. If you have your bulletin open, the text is correct that's printed there. The reference is Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, instead of John 20 as it's printed there. Strange teachers. Today we're going to look at storms. Perhaps some of you have inside of you that storm chaser instinct that when you get the weather alert on your weather app or you're watching the skies around you, your curiosity is heightened and you kind of anticipate the storm that's coming and marvel at it and maybe enjoy it. You're probably in the minority. That usually when there's threatening weather of some kind, there's this anxiety that comes over our hearts and our lives, and we watch our modern radar to see where the most dangerous part of the storm is, or we take precautions to get out of the storm's way so that we avoid any bodily harm and, to the extent that is able, any property harm. I would say that for most people, that having calm, nice weather days are much more enjoyable than days when the forecast is uncertain or there's threatening weather around us. And so as we think about storms in the weather pattern of life around us, perhaps asking the question this morning, why don't we like storms? Because I think there's certainly parallels when we think about and anticipate a physical storm, a weather storm, that also play into the other disruptions in life or storms of life that come as a result of different things, whether it's physical challenges, relationship challenges, financial challenges, whatever those rough spots are in life, what does God want us to learn as we go through those? So this morning I want to look at with you Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, a little bit earlier in Jesus' ministry. Jesus has had a busy day, and he sends his disciples, and he himself gets into a boat and heads across the Sea of Galilee. Here's what happens, verses 35 to 38. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" So let's try and put ourselves in this boat, and on this boat, and there were others out there on the Sea of Galilee with them, are the likes of Peter, James, and John, who were experienced fishermen and experienced on the Sea of Galilee and had spent many hours out there fishing. But the Sea of Galilee has a bit of topography. It actually sits below sea level, and there's some high cliffs on one side and a lower plain on the other side, and so the temperature differential and the weather patterns can come up quite swiftly. And the Sea of Galilee isn't that deep of a lake that when the winds start to blow, the waters churn rather severely. So we know that this furious squall was something that even frightened these experienced fishermen, because I'm guessing these guys have experienced some level of unexpected storms out on the Sea of Galilee at some point in their fishing career, but this one terrified them. The waves were crashing over the boat, and they feared for their life. By contrast, Jesus was in the back of the boat sleeping. Now, you may say, well, Jesus must have been exhausted. Right? Sometimes you wake up in the morning and your spouse or you ask your kids, hey, did you hear the storm last night? And they were so zonked out and so sound asleep that they didn't hear the thunder and the lightning, the rain banging against the window like you did. Was that the case for Jesus? He was just so wiped out that the waves splashing on him and the rock of the boat was more soothing and calming to him? We'll come back to Jesus in a little bit. But you see, his response to the storm in stark contrast to the disciples as they come up to Jesus frantic, and they ask the question, teacher, don't you care if we drown? For them, this storm was no time to be sleeping. This was a time to figure out, how are we going to get off this lake and to the safety of the shore without the boats falling apart and all of us perishing? And their assumption was that Jesus was sleeping because he didn't care if he went down with the boat with them. It's almost like a fatalistic attitude they had towards Jesus, it seems like. It says, hey, let's go out on the lake. You know what? I'm tired of these disciples. I'm tired of this ministry. I know a storm's going to come up. We're all going to go to the bottom of the lake, and we'll be done, and this will be over. By their question, don't you care if we drown? As if Jesus had brought him out on the lake for that very purpose, to drown as a result of the storm. So let's pause here and say, in the storms of life, which is your more natural reaction? To be like the disciples or to be like Jesus? I won't ask for a show of hands, but my guess is 99.9% of us, 99.9% of the time, our reaction is like the disciples. Right? When the challenges of life come up, we get frantic and our hearts start racing and we think, how are we going to get out of this? What's going to happen? Will we survive? Why is that? What is it about the storm that leads to this reaction of the disciples? They lost control. The way they knew how to handle a boat and they knew how they, the type of weather they knew how to handle it in was beyond their capability, or the current storm was beyond their capability and their knowledge to do something. What was in their control suddenly was outside of their control. Is that not true? Insert whatever storm of life you're going through now or have gone through or maybe anticipate in the future. Is not part of our reaction due to the reality that things are out of our control? We can't fix our health. We don't know what to do with that relationship. I'm not sure where the next dollars are going to come to pay those bills. I'm not sure how I'm going to pass this course. When we get out of control is where we start to panic, worry, get stressed, try and fix it. And so the disciples realized this storm took them out of control. And if you're filling in your blanks, that's one of the lessons that storm teaches. It takes things out of my control. It's bigger, it's stronger, it's more powerful than I have the ability to control. And there are situations in life where that happens. And I invite you just to insert whatever that is. That's bigger, that's stronger, that you can't figure out, and that you don't know how you're going to get out of, and you realize, I am out of control. Not in a nefarious way, but just, I have no ability to control this situation. And perhaps our reaction is also like the disciples. When we realize things are out of our control, the disciples had a level of trust that Jesus could do something about this, and intentionally is choosing not to. And so they come to him and say, Lord, don't you care if we're going to drown? And isn't that sometime our reaction, that the storm leads us to think that God doesn't care. Because it seems like he doesn't care. Because as we know the Lord, we know he's bigger, wiser, more powerful, and that he could do something. And the fact is, we interpret what he's allowing us to go through saying, God, you must not care that I'm going through this. And is that not our reaction at times? Lord, don't you care that I'm sick? Lord, don't you care that I'm in this financial mess? Lord, don't you care that we're struggling in our marriage? Don't you care that I'm struggling with my parents or struggling to parent? Lord, don't you care? Fill in the blank. And in that moment, in that storm of life, we challenge God in our own heart saying, he could do something, but he's not, which means he doesn't care about me. And in fact, he doesn't care if I drown. He doesn't care if I go down with the ship. Storms in life bring up a spiritual battle. It's not just physically surviving. It's spiritually surviving. And Satan knows that. Satan knows that in the storms of life, like Job, God allowed Satan to work in Job's life. And he thought that when a storm came up, when he lost family, when he lost wealth, when he lost his health, when all these things would be taken away, then he would lose his faith. And Satan loves to come into the storms of life and challenge us to give up on God and to leave God and to believe that God doesn't care and God could do something about it, but he hates you and he's getting back at you and you have lived such an awful life that you deserve this, and Satan is playing on your soul to get you to drown spiritually. And so when we think about storms in life, we have to realize there is a spiritual component. But Jesus doesn't leave us to fight that battle alone. And I find it fascinating, as we reflect back on this event, what Jesus does. And again, if you're one of those disciples frantic, Jesus, don't you care if we drown? Here's how Jesus responds. Jesus gets up, rebukes the wind and says to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith, or maybe another translation, little faith, weak faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. So now you get to the other side and you're the disciples and you're talking afterwards and you're reflecting back on this event. What lessons? The storm teaches me, things get out of my control. The storm communicates, it seems like God doesn't care. But what were the lessons Jesus wanted his disciples to learn from this? Wants us to learn from this, that we can take through any storm in life and come to the other side safely, spiritually. Four things. Lesson number one, Jesus is in the boat. What's the lesson in that? He's in the boat. He's in the storm. He's there with you. It wasn't like Jesus was on the shore. In this instance, he was in the boat with them. Later on, he sends the disciples out, and he comes walking on the water. And we'll come back to that, the spiritual development of these disciples. But remember, Jesus is in the boat. He said at the very end, the last words of Matthew chapter 28, he said to his disciples, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You see, what Satan loves to do in the times of storms is say, God doesn't care, and he's abandoned you. He's left you all alone. He's in the boat. He is there with you. He has not abandoned you, even in the challenges of life. So remember, Jesus is in the boat. Second lesson. If you remember the opening words of verse 35, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Here's the second lesson. Jesus said we were going to the other side. But in the middle of the storm, what were the disciples convinced of? There's no way we're getting to the other side. Doesn't it feel like that in the middle of storms of life? It's like, there's no way we're ever going to get out of this. There's no end in sight. There's no hope at the end. But remember what Jesus said. Let us go to the other side. Jesus had given his word when they stepped in the boat, we are going to the other side. We are going to make it. But the disciples forgot about that. In the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the panic, they forgot the words and promises of Jesus. Does that not also happen when we go through the storms of life? That we forget the words and promises of Jesus. Now, I don't have a word of God that says your physical challenge will end in calm and serenity on this earth. But here's Jesus' words of promise from John chapter 14. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Because in the storms of life, our hearts get troubled, our hearts get anxious, our hearts get full of worry. "Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." You see, the ultimate word of promise that God gives is deliverance from the storms of this life on this earth during our lifetime with the hope and joy and eternity and serenity and the calm and the peace of heaven. We don't want to forget that. That promise is sure, that promise is there, that in the middle of the storms of life, remember, Jesus said, we're going to the other side. And when Jesus says, we can trust it. Third lesson. Jesus has power over the storm. Jesus said just a couple verses before end of Matthew 28, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Jesus stood up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and they obeyed him. And the disciples marveled, who is this? Because remember, they're kind of at the beginning of their relationship with Jesus and understanding who he is as the Son of God, as the Christ, the Messiah. All these things are going on, and now they see him stand up, and he rebukes, "Wind, stop, waves, be still." And they were. Imagine you're on the boat, and you're like rocking around, you're fearing for your life. You wake Jesus up, and he rebukes the wind and the waves, and it's calm. It's like, whoa, who is this guy? I want to build on this with the last point, but just remember, Jesus has power over the storm. There's no storm in life that is beyond the power of God to act on. Which leads to the fourth one that perhaps is the most challenging lesson to learn, because our natural conclusion is, if he has power over the storm, if he cares, he would take this storm away. He would calm my storm, and he would bring me to the other side safely, and he would eliminate that. That's our natural conclusion. But notice the question he asked the disciples. Why do you still have such little faith? What was the biggest lesson that Jesus was teaching his disciples in the middle of the storm? And that's lesson four. Jesus wants to strengthen our faith in him. You may say, that's an odd way to send a storm. But when the winds aren't blowing and the waves are calm, we think we got it all figured out. We think we're in control. We think we can trust ourselves. We think we can trust our wisdom, our knowledge. And so God allows storms in life to strengthen our trust and our faith and our reliance on who he is and his work in our life. And so as we go through the storms of life, the question to ask, Lord, what are you teaching me? to allow His Spirit to strengthen your soul, to rely on Him. Romans chapter 5, we're going to look at this in the Bible study between services more closely. But the Apostle Paul writes this, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, in our storms, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us." In the moment, it seemed like God didn't care. In the moment, it seemed like God wasn't doing anything about the storm. It seemed like Jesus was willing to go down with the boat with the disciples, but Jesus rebukes the winds and the waves, and He says, "Why do you have such little faith?" Let me fast forward. Because remember a few weeks ago, we talked about how God makes little deposits of faith growth opportunities in us to nurture and to strengthen us. A bit later, the disciples are out on that same lake, and the winds come up. This time, Jesus isn't with them, but they see Him walking across the water. You remember what Peter said? "Lord, if it's You, call me out of the boat." And in that moment, he had trust that the Lord would sustain him. Then he looked down, and he started to sink. Fast forward a little bit farther. They're in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus, and the enemies come to take Jesus, and they all flee, and Peter denies Jesus, and Judas has betrayed Him. They're huddled in a locked room for fear of the Jews on the night of the resurrection. But then as the Holy Spirit comes, and now they're boldly proclaiming the Word of God in the city of Jerusalem, and they're told, "Stop speaking about this Word of truth." God had used those little storms in life where God showed up and God molded and they persevered, and through suffering, perseverance, character, character, hope, and hope that would not disappoint them and would not leave them silent. And those apostles, with boldness and courage, regardless of whether they are thrown into prison or they are executed or martyred, they didn't care if their physical life came to an end, because their hope in the Lord and their trust in Him was solid and secure, and they knew it was for Him, for them, and for everybody else. And they spoke with boldness because through the storms, God had strengthened their faith so that no storm would blow them away from Him again. Is it possible that God is allowing storms in your life to strengthen your faith, to be rock solid, so that when storms and challenges to your faith or your physical or relationship, financial, whatever it is, that Satan cannot get a foothold because you've remembered these things that Jesus taught? He's there with you in the boat. Remember that. Remember His words and promises are true. Remember that He has power over the storm. And remember, He desires that your faith be strengthened and your trust in Him more secure. So then, when the storms of life come, find a nice cushion in the back of the boat and take a good nap. Amen. May God's peace that works in our hearts, even in the storms of life, give you calm and peace, knowing that your Savior loves you, cares about you, and will take you to heaven one day. Amen.